Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Wednesday evening, show number 1498 with Island Brother Saint Ian. Welcome. As we are here to share our hump day fair with you, I'm your host, Michael Little Singer, DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it's good to be in the house here at Soul Tree Radio and Raw. Soul Tree Radio proudly brought to you at BASNNewsroom.com and brothers and sisters, the combined assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network, doing damage as we tear apart the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, here and now, at www.BASNNewsroom, all one phrase.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network as they are coming in from hither and yon, more hither than yon. Radio Reggie, the Orlando Ledbetter, Sonic Cheryl Jones, much love, Cheryl, on your recuperating, and Pat Freeman, the Mighty O'Bar, and others as they come in. Riding with me shotgun right now, though, is the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to you. Tired of the same old sports program? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Now, Michael Losing.
Yes, sir.
I live in the Bay Area. The Bay Area where the University of California, Berkeley, right?
Oh, shit.
There is a graduate of the University of California, Berkeley.
Yes, there is.
Who believes that he is above everybody else.
That's true.
The Senator from California would like the floor for 5 minutes. And Eric Dyson take over the floor.
We will allow 5 minutes for the distinguished gentleman from California to make his case.
Thank you. As you know, Mr. Rogers, he's above everybody else.
Right.
He lied to y'all.
See, I'm grilling one of the biggest stars in the NFL, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has tested positive for COVID-19 after seemingly deceiving the public and his team about his vaccination status. Here's what Rodgers told the press back in August.
Are you vaccinated? What's your stance on the vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been in the last, those guys on the team that have been vaccinated. I think it's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys.
NFL media reports that Rodgers is not vaccinated, that instead he received a homeopathic treatment from his personal doctor. Joining me is Bill Roden, writer-at-large for ESPN's The Undefeated, and MSNBC contributor Dr. Irwin Redlener, founding director of Columbia University's National Center for Disaster Preparedness. So, Bill, let's start with Rodgers' vaccination status. He's not playing this weekend, but who knew what when? He was unvaccinated, but he was acting like he was. What do we know?
Yeah, well, that you get to the heart of the question, because a lot of this falls on Rodgers, with a portion of words. He was not vaccinated, and the NFL, and I think the larger question is that the NFL probably knew that he was not vaccinated. And I think this gets to the heart of what's left of the NFL's integrity. He asked for a special status designation. They denied it, which means that they knew that he was not vaccinated. He was designated as unvaccinated, but yet you see him week after week after week with no mask, going into the facility unmasked. So now the question becomes, what is the National Football League going to do about this? Because a lot of players are probably thinking, oh, wait a minute, why is this guy his special treatment? Everybody else had to jump through hoops about either wearing masks, getting vaccinated, and here is this guy seemed like he openly deceived his team, his teammates, and the league. And but I think the issue is the league seems like it knew this. So I think, again, this gets to the heart of what's left with the NFL's integrity.
Yeah, is this?
And my question to you, Michael, is you're the FanDuel and DraftKings in the background, right?
Yep.
How much did FanDuel and DraftKings tell the NFL, you better put that boy on the field?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That's a very fair question, Gary, because we saw this on the college level when Terrell Pryor was in a situation where he was going to be suspended because of something having to do with selling his uniform or whatever, and the sponsor for the bowl game that Ohio State was going to be in said, y'all better make sure that nigga get down here. We need to make money. We need that nigga down here. We don't give a fuck about anything else. Y'all can do whatever y'all want. And they slapped together some bullshit interpretation of what happened in that. Of course, Pryor was eligible to play. And, of course, he helped win the game for Ohio State. And then faded into obscurity because they didn't want that nigga playing quarterback in the NFL, although he did have a taste with your Raiders. Now, having said all of that, we have to pin all of this back and go back to what you said because the most important question did not follow up. We see people interviewed all the time, and the next question usually is the best question. So, okay, they asked him, what's up? He says, yes, I'm immunized. All right, what's the next question? What did you take? Did you take Moderna?
Thank you. And nobody asked that question.
Because they knew, Gary, this is, I don't want to say it's out and out sabotage, but we know for a fact they were stacking the deck, hoping it would go away. He's a star, and we already know the star system's different, especially if you're a white star in the NFL. We know that motherfucker took every advantage to say what he said, as less of it as possible, and nobody challenged him on it. He knew nobody was going to challenge him on it. That's a big difference.
So my next question, and see, this is a very important question for you people.
Mm-hmm.
When did the Green Bay Packers know? When did the National Football League know? Because if they knew this 4 or 5 weeks ago, and Mr. Rogers went to a Halloween party and did not mask up at the Halloween party, and they tell me, if you think I'm joking, okay. This past weekend in Arizona, 20 Cal Bears had the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. This weekend, the University of California Golden Bears will not be playing football this weekend. Why? Because 44 people were the deposit this weekend.
There were 44 Bears that tested positive? Holy shit.
44!
Now, so let's put that in perspective, G, because normally a Division I school that has a traveling entourage of players to go to a game is somewhere between 70 and 80 players. So half that squad is out with COVID. Now,
hey,
I don't
Michael,
they
played Arizona last weekend, right? 22 guys couldn't go on a trip because of COVID.
Okay, so even with that, more people have gotten sick. So obviously, somebody got sick from someone else, and the numbers increased. But, again,
and Aaron Rodgers is walking around with no mask.
Well, wait a minute, G. I know he got to get his ass up. Let's get that right. Okay, again, Nobody asked the second question, or the second question was dismissed. Then 44 of these some bitches weren't eligible to play. So did Cal forfeit the game?
They postponed the game and moved it to the game was going to be played on November 13th at 12:30.
Okay, who are they supposed to play?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who are they supposed to play?
USC, the University of Small Children.
See, now we know the real reason why they postponed this motherfucker. Okay, so USC was coming in. Was that a home game or an away game?
An home game of the Cal Berkeley.
Well, there you go. See, big money coming in. Probably one of their biggest dates because it is USC, regardless of record.
It is their biggest date.
Yeah, so we got Tony McClain in the mix as well, and T-Mac, you know, money talks, bullshit runs in my family.
They moved the game. They moved the game December the 4th at 12:30.
Wow. Okay. So they took a three weeks to move the game because there's too much money at stake. How many seats do you think Bear Stadium holds, Gary? You've been to games there.
70,000.
Okay, 70,000. All right, so for argument's sake, that's anywhere from a $5 to $10 million day. You ain't writing off $10 million, Tony.
Well, Michael, also you gotta remember that next week after this,
right,
they play Denver. I don't know how they go play Denver. On Thanksgiving weekend,
when you
go back, I don't think
you do it. Well, look, Gary, this is what the NCAA wanted. They're allowing these people to clean up their own mistakes, but they really ain't offering up no support. You know, these schedules are pretty much fixed schedules when they played during the season, and there's very little wiggle room for a game to be moved. But when there's 70,000 potential paying customers in the mix, shit gonna get moved like a motherfucker. Tony,
I came in late. What I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Well, Gary just mentioned
talking about the University of California at Berkeley.
Okay.
And 22 players with COVID last week. At the Arizona game in Arizona.
Okay.
This past Tuesday, 44 players got tested positive for COVID.
44, 22.
The game with USC was canceled on this Saturday.
Okay.
They moved the game November 13th. December the 4th. They also have a game on November 27th.
Okay, hold on. The game was originally scheduled for this weekend?
Yeah, against USC.
Yeah, when they're going to play it when?
December 4th.
December the 4th.
December the 4th. Okay.
So everybody passed it. Everybody goes through protocol.
Okay.
Yes.
So
Now,
what about their subsequent games leading, what about this, like next week?
Well, They got next week off.
Okay, so they're guessing. So when is their next scheduled game? I guess the
27th against Denver.
Home game, away game?
Road game. Is that Denver?
Road game. So their next scheduled home game is the 4th versus
USC
Trojans. And that's barring that the gang of 50 is all tested positive, right?
I'd be in trouble because you go from 5 to 20 in a week, and from 20 to 44 another week. So
well, that's the only question.
Somebody in that organization did the bad and walk all over the place.
No, no. Gary, the question is, who on their medical staff is keeping track of whatever data is available regarding these players and missing the fact that one or more players are responsible for getting COVID and testing positive and the administration not being fast enough to cover the ground?
Michael, I'm glad you brought that up because at the beginning of the season,
yep,
they tested the Cowbears tested every 3 days.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because of the strong Berkeley health order
mm-hmm.
Berkeley. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Every 3 days. So what the university
mm-hmm.
did was they waived the 3-day testing ban.
Uh-huh.
That's because of cotton.
Okay, so now I take it the Pac-10 doesn't have specific guidelines in telling all their schools what they need to do. And we got Radio Reggie in the mix. If they're not doing this, then the whole conference is at fault for what spiraled out of count.
But Berkeley is different than all the other cities. They
mm-hmm.
have a real strong, rigid medical mandate, and no other city
okay.
has that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, medical
well,
mandate's not
that.
You're
trying to get around that. That's why there is.
Okay. Elephant in the room. Has there been a visit from a particular alumnus by way
yes.
of Wisconsin?
Come on.
No, not yet. Not yet.
What are you saying, T? What are you saying?
I'm gonna be like Dave Chappelle. I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one.
Come on,
guys. They had the system in place to check this
mm-hmm.
before
yep.
the outbreak,
mm-hmm.
and they shut it
yep.
down.
Mm-hmm.
So, T, are we doing a State Farm commercial here?
No, because I won't allow Jake from State Farm into the city limits. So, no.
That's right.
Jake from State Farm
is on COVID quarantine right now. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know who you're more mad, Jake from State Farm, or the man that played the Allstate commercial. You're in good hands with Allstate. I don't know which one
mm-hmm.
you
better. Yeah, he better. All I know is he better keep his hands to himself.
Especially don't wear no mask and he don't clean them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but gentlemen, let's be honest about something. The big elephant in the room is something called BET. It ain't talking about the TV. I'm talking about that damn gambling. That's the big elephant in the room. Because
and that's why
kind of
Aaron Rodgers got away with what he got away with.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about betting. And I guarantee you that he better be glad somebody didn't die when he was walking around with no mask in the press conference or around the game. He better be glad.
Not yet, but Reggie's right. I mean, the league ain't saying shit. And just like what should have happened with Kaepernick, this
yep.
was a union situation. Whoever the shop steward
yep.
or the player rep is, he should have been notified. You went to management. You told them what time it is. And everything else is status quo from there on. But this Berkeley thing is different because there's 70,000 motherfuckers waiting to see USC come in there to play them.
I had to take it for the game, bro.
Look at that. Even Gary talking about that. that's a $5 to $10 million weekend thrown away because they have to move the game. And if they've allowed a situation to fester to this point, we know at some point somebody's going to forfeit. Now, I ain't saying they're going to forfeit now, but y'all know that's too much money to leave off the table. And somebody's going to say something before all of this finishes out the season.
Well, I think the people who would say something would have to be the Pac-12, would it not?
I would think so.
If this game has bearing on who gets to the Pac-12 championship game.
Both of these teams stink. They both stink.
Mm. Oh, they stink? Oh, okay. I thought I smelled something. Okay.
But both of those teams are going to play to a full stadium, Gary. You just said it. You got a ticket to the game.
That
game will get played, even if they have to play in Bowen Field in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah,
they're going to play that game.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to play that game.
Because Gallo's 3-6, and USC is 4-5.
Oh.
There's a payroll that must be met.
Exactly.
Remember,
the playoff system
has been very relaxed. We've seen teams with losing records play postseason games. But that's how far they've gone.
That just answers the question because they're 4-4. Both of them are 4. What did you say? Cal was what now, Gary?
3-6.
3-6. Okay, so they University of Spoiled Children is what?
4-5.
Okay, so yeah, they're going to play that because if there's a possibility that they'll play that game. I think we just answered our own question, gentlemen.
Exactly.
That game, it's just a matter.
If USC wins this week, it'll be 5-5, and that means that game will be a game.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's 6 now, isn't it? It's not 5, it's 6 now, right?
You got to win at least 6 games, I believe, now. Yes.
Yeah, it's 6 now. Yeah. I think just on GP and put it this way, it's USC. So.
Yeah, it's USC.
Yeah. And see, Cal wants that game played too, if nothing else, for the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Gary. Let's get back to your Cal alumnus, this arrogant piece of shit who should be charged with felony assholery in the first degree.
Mm-hmm. Which is punishable. Which is now punishable in 40 of the 50 states, by the way.
Exactly. And the provinces of Canada are catching up to it. But yes, felony assholery is no joke. And
in this vein, of course, it's an action pronoun.
Yes, it is. But look at what's going on here. Here's Aaron Rodgers dictating to the National Football League.
Yep.
A combination of white privilege and arrogance all thrown into one. And I will elaborate on this further later because right now our medical guest is coming into the mix. She is a professional nurse. She's been doing this a while. And she's my daughter. Leah Michelle is in the house. Leah, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Hello, everybody.
What's up?
What's going on, baby? Now, Leah. We know we have heard some strange shit going on. And I've used the word assholery to cover the general atmosphere
about some of this stuff.
But, you know, there's a whole different temperature in Alberta, Canada. If you would, please speak on this.
I guess for most Canadians, it's considered the south of Canada, I guess you could say. It's just a different type of very far right type of belief, I guess you could say, like ideology.
Okay.
It's definitely something I'm not used to. Growing up in D.C., it's like night and day.
No kidding. How has this affected people and their health regarding getting shots and regarding whether or not they think vaccines are important?
Wow. I feel like a lot of people are mixing their politics in with medical, especially here in this province.
That is the biggest mistake you can do, is you have
to separate the politics from the medical. And the reason why I say this is you won't get an argument out of anybody that they feel the government and other big corps are taking advantage and exploiting COVID. Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody will dispute that. But the medical side, people dedicate their lives, researchers, scientists, health professionals, they dedicate their lives. And not only that, I actually think about it sometimes where they're in – we haven't seen a pandemic like this since this pandemic. So most of us in our lifetime have never experienced anything like this. So these people who dedicate their lives to save lives are now under the pressures globally, not just by your own country or even locally or community-wise. This is a worldwide thing. I can only imagine the pressures that those people had on their shoulders at the time. And for them to successful, I think we should be saving that. That shows how far we've come along mentally and technologically.
It's embarrassing, no doubt. People are
listening to these, like these mRNA, like it's they're microchipping us and that they're, like it's changing our DNA, when that has totally false. It's unfortunate that people are choosing to go down a rabbit hole where people don't even have any sort of professionalism or education in an area where this is where they dedicate their lives. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Well, sweetie, this didn't operate in a vacuum, I know. Can you tell me from the time this started, when this actually started to crystallize where you are in Canada?
As it pertains to just the whole black hole of conspiracy theory when this all...
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. When the conspiracy shit started. Yes.
Honestly, it's funny that you... Because I feel like everything kind of amalgamated together. Like, it was like, you know, Floyd happened, and then police brutality was put in the spotlight. And then all of a sudden, it was like this side or that side. And for some reason... COVID fell into that. I don't know how, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Because that's what's happened, is people that are most, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people that I've met in the hospital who are, this is against my rights and whatnot, are mostly people that are Blue Lives Matter and that far right side. So it's why out of everything did COVID happen to be the thing to leech onto? I don't understand. I mean, this mRNA vaccine has been around for, God, longer than I've been alive. But people don't realize that. Like the rabies vaccine, Zika, influenza, those are all. And then people tell us, oh, it's COVID. You know, the government is trying to chip us. They're trying to kill us. That would mean everybody in the whole wide world would have to be in on this conspiracy, including me and my cohorts.
Come on. That's right. Yeah. You're there with the needle going, I'm like, come on now. Yes. It doesn't make any damn sense. But before I turn it over to the fellas, when you have to think about stuff like this, is it more like you got to laugh to keep from crying? Or do you really wonder how many fucking stupid people are there in the midst of everything that's happening and 700,000 people already fucking dropped dead in the U.S.? God knows how many in Canada.
Yeah. Honestly, like today, for example, one of the screening questions is, have you received your COVID immunization? And it says, my right is I don't have to answer that question. And I just like, at that point, I'm just like, wow. Honestly, from here on out, I just like, you know what? If you want to do what you want to do, there's nothing, honestly, that I can say that's going to change your mind. I think it's already too late at that point. So I just move on.
Interesting. Well, fellas, you're here with my daughter, Leah. She's a nurse. She's been in the front lines with all this madness, and we are trying to get some better understanding as why all this shit is broken down the way it has. Reggie, do you have any questions for Leah?
Yeah, first of all, Leah, your father, should we say, cut no corners. His vocabulary is that of a sailor, but I digress. We say that in love, but, you know, my issue, man, okay, when you have conspiracy theorists out there, just like what happened down in Houston, Texas, where they now say that Satan was part of the cult that had people go down there and stampede, where that nine-year-old was trampled and now is fighting for their life. In your humble opinion, when it comes to politics, it seems like one group has weaponized the virus, where they got people think they can drink chlorine and all kind of craziness. How much damage did that do for a certain segment? As Dr. King says, two things that can really ruin our society: absolute stupidity, absolute ignorance. Where do you put these people who claim to be the anti-vaxxers as far as absolute stupidity and ignorance, and how damaging is that to people like you and your line of work?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
No, we keep it real here.
Yeah, because I believe in people's freedom of choice, absolutely. Now, where I have a problem is their freedom of choice is not based on accurate research and facts, and then that starts to, I would say, more frustrating than anything. I would say it's more frustrating than anything. And I put them in the group of people just, I feel like they've already made their minds up. It doesn't matter what you're going to say. I just have to let it go. I can't even judge in that way anymore. It just takes up too much time. It's absolutely saturated social media and the news and everything that it's overwhelming sometimes to think.
But just a follow-up, if I may. When it comes to people that want to get into your profession, dealing with COVID-19 the last couple of years, what suggestion would you have to them?
Patience. Definitely patience. My patience has been tested to the brink, actually, in this last 2 years, I would say. Lots and lots of patience. More so than you can ever imagine.
Right. Thank you for your time, and be safe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie. We got the professor, Fred Whitten, on the line as well. Professor, do you have any questions for my daughter, Leah? Good evening, and what's up?
Well, good evening, and Leah, I hear you say you would suggest people have patience. Well, I congratulate you on your patience. I've known your father for about 3 or 4 years now, and I figure you ain't choked him to death, so you got a lot of patience.
Why I knew that was coming. I was like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I have two nieces that are in the medical profession. And I know that although, like, one of them is strictly psychiatry, but the other one, she bounces between, she works with one of these medical organizations. And, you know, I was a foot dragger when it came to getting the inoculation. But, you know, we in our family, we kind of leaned on the two of them, along with a couple others who are nurses and whatnot. And, you know, as we progressed through all of this, we've been fortunate that so far so good. Nobody, including a couple who were in the one of these senior citizens facilities. And I see that. How do you deal with this? I call it spontaneous combustion stupidity
on the part of a lot of these leaders, you know, because that's, you know, you don't want to mandate on a vaccine, but then you ride around, you know, my question is, do you ride around sitting on your seatbelts, or because that's mandated also, and there's so many other things. Is it just a push from these people to push stupidity using buzzwords and innuendo and all that, or is this just a what I'll call a national mental health situation that goes far deeper than what we think?
Oh, I'm actually not too sure how to answer that.
That's fine.
Well, yeah. Applicable to Canada, Leah. Yeah, applicable to Canada. Difference between Atlanta and BC and, you know, back east.
Mm-hmm.
What government mandates have they executed that, let's say, some of the other provinces aren't as quick to abide by?
Well, right now, I would say in Alberta, when it comes to mandation, it's you have to have a vaccine pass.
Yes.
So it's something that is, but the thing of it is it's easily altered, apparently. Like, it's just a PDF thing that anybody could alter. So you need it in order to, like, eat at restaurants or go to certain facilities. Some places have chosen not to abide by that and have actually, I've seen it posted on, like, these community websites, I guess, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people are asking questions like, does your business do the exemption program is what it's called here. Does your businesses will come forward and say, I will not ask you for your vaccine passport.
Exactly.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in my opinion, though, like, I feel like as a healthcare professional or anybody that's in that field, it should be mandatory. I mean, in order to become a healthcare professional, you actually have to be updated in all your vaccines.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the general public, that is your choice. It is your choice, absolutely. But make sure you're making an educated choice. Don't quote conspiracy theories.
Right.
Now, when it comes to businesses, that's where it gets even more complicated, because that's why people don't trust the government, is because you're invoking these mandations on these small businesses, but yet the Costcos and the Walmarts and the superstores and whatever else are open to the public. And you don't have to show your passport. So that's what I understand people where they get their frustrations, because it is frustrating. It's confusing. And
that
now I
sense.
Think they are – I'm not too sure when it's going to take effect. It might already, but now you can't even get on a plane then to travel within Canada without that vaccine passport. That's
holy
something
shit.
New.
Wow.
Yes. And people are pissed.
No shit. Are they checking via rail too, Leah, so that they can't travel by train?
I believe right now it's only planes.
Okay. Professor, do you have any more questions for Leah?
No, because I didn't hear what she's already been answering. So
okay, well, she's covering.
I'll let it slide this time.
Okay, Gary, do you have any questions for Leah?
Yeah. The disabled population again. Is much more than the disabled government in the United States. The disabled community in the United States, the COVID-19 has really hit them really hard. Is that the same as it is in Canada?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The disabled community in Canada is much smaller than the disabled community in the United States. The COVID-19 has really hit American disability very hard. And What has he done again?
In Alberta, when it comes to that, that one is a tricky one, just because for people with disabilities, I would say a lot of the care and resources depend on the community. And so when the community was put in restrictions, I would say definitely there was limited resources for people with disabilities, 100%. Yeah, the home care hours were reduced, so they weren't getting the care that they required as frequently. And so we would see people from home who were supposed to get home care in the emergency department because now there's infections or decrease in function. And so we would see more of them in emergency, actually, because of the lack of care that was being provided for them.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Tony. Any questions for Leah?
Yeah, just one. Basically now, you know, you talked about how it's been a strain for folks in that industry. How has this affected you? And have you been threatened or what? Have you had to have an incident or what have you in regards to someone call on the fifth in regards to the vaccine, in regards to taking the vaccine or not taking it or what have you?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yes. There has been a spike in aggression and abuse to the point where they've actually included it in part of our assessments for each patient. There's actually a function that is specifically for, and it could be aggression with regarding the patient. Even the patient's visitors get flagged for aggression now. So that's something new that's been introduced into our computer programs when it comes to patients' charts.
How long have you been a professional? I guess over 10 years or so, maybe, roughly?
20 years.
Oh, 20. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, okay. So in that sense, how much, I mean, it might be just repeating the same question again. How much has this changed your job in regards to literally how you have to do it and just the basics of what you maybe would have had to have done, say, pre-COVID as opposed to now post-COVID?
For myself, definitely I struggled a bit, definitely at the beginning. I even struggled with whether I even wanted to be in the profession anymore. So it made me doubt myself. It definitely made me doubt, or it made my coworkers doubt themselves as well. There's a lot of fatigue, I would say, and not just fatigue, just going to work,
mental and physical, I'm guessing.
Yeah, compassion fatigue. It's funny. We have like 8 and 12 hour shifts. Triage is the place where I would say you need your most patients. After 4 hours, I could see everybody they have to leave, and they're like, I can't do this anymore. They start to lose compassion so quick just because of there's just so much pushback. I would say about 30 to 40% of people that come in, they're not like quite, but they're almost a little bit defensive, I guess you could say. And it makes it a lot harder for us to, I feel like our relationship between patient and nurse is shattered somewhat a bit there, because then we can't start building a good trusting relationship if you feel like I'm attacking you, you know what I mean? When I'm just doing my job and asking a question, that's it.
Wow.
So it just makes it difficult to form that relationship. And as a nurse, that's what we love. We love getting to know people and how we can help them, but it's so much more difficult. And that's where the capacity comes in.
Hey, Mike, one quick question for you, for your daughter. Type of therapy, or what type, should we say, administrative assistance that they give nurses for not only stress, but also how to cope? Because I've been hearing that a lot of nurses are even getting divorced, some even in writing wills, some even committing suicide, as well as doctors. What type of assessment do they have for y'all as far as therapy?
Well, through Alberta Health Services, which I'm under the umbrella of, they offer free therapy, unlimited. Like, it's there to access anytime you need. And what they do is they try to match you with somebody who they feel and who you feel you would connect with the best. And if you don't connect with them, then they offer more resources, other people that they feel that, you know, you could benefit from. But they definitely do have therapists, psychologists there, at free of charge through the healthcare services.
Have y'all seen the uptick as far as nurses retiring and doctors retiring?
Oh, yeah.
There's some meat in that sandwich.
People are tired early.
Leah, there's one of the aspects that I want to bring up. There's one other aspect of this I want to bring up, and that's the how the cultural effect of all this is making do. Now, you know, in the States, Aaron Rodgers lost his bunny rabbit blinking mind with his bullshit regarding immunization and lying about it. Now, in a comparable situation, if Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers had done exactly what Aaron Rodgers had done, what do you think the result would be and the effect would be?
Oof, raked over the coals.
Yeah, to start.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, with the Aaron Rodgers thing, it's not about the vaccine at all.
No.
people will say that. Like, they will say that over and over again. It's the lying. That's it. You're giving people this false sense of security. That's the main thing. Like, who cares?
That's
say
right.
yes or no. It's your choice. Whatever. Yeah. But don't lie
there
about it.
Shit, is that my daughter or not? That motherfucker's lying. Yes. It's like, come on, stop.
It's integrity. Hold your integrity with high regard. Don't just throw it away like that. It's hard to get it back.
No joke. But the
Green Bay Packers will never be drafted again, ever. Not my book.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a chemistry factor. I'm sorry, Leah, go ahead. Leah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I'm just wasn't saying anything.
Okay. Well, as long as this lasts like this, now I know traveling from the border to the border now is opened, finally. And I think more because the United States is fearful of losing too much money, as does Canada in this. But the concept that they're trying to restrict people and the conspiracies that come from this, it's all being tied more to how quality of life manifests itself in front of citizens, be they U.S. or Canadian. But because they're being told they have to do something, their mindset is they don't want to do it. So, I mean, is this close to the bone, or is there something else I'm missing here?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the running joke is that it's like a child throwing a temper tantrum. You tell them they can't do anything, and then they throw a fit. And it's that's what it looks like. Honestly, like going shopping and seeing a movie, eating at a restaurant, traveling, that isn't a right. I'm sorry. That's a privilege.
Yeah.
That's not
that's right. That's unbelievable. Does anybody on the thread have any more questions for Leah?
I'm good here. I think she hit it on the nose and sort of confirmed what I think a lot of us have been thinking behind the scenes. But at least it seems like at least in Canada, they're being a lot more proactive than they are here in the States.
Yeah, I would agree. Leah, thank you for your time, sweetheart. Tell Jefecito his birthday package has gone past customs, so he'll get it sometime this weekend. Much love to you and everybody else. Please be safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Much love.
Oh, much love to you, Pops. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Literally and figuratively. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fellas. So, Leah has gave you a tent. He gave you a picture of what the tone is on the other side of the border. And apparently this paranoia shit and some of this cuckoo stuff, conspiracy type thing, these are offshoots of Trump. We know this. But now that it's gotten this far that all of North America is affected by this, what's the next move? Does the NIH, okay, we have to come out with some hardcore faceted things that say, if you don't do this, then this happens. And I haven't seen that syllogistically presented yet. So
no.
Can anybody say there's an if then yet? Yes.
You know, to be honest with you, Mike, I you know, this may be too simplistic, but I think they're afraid to do it now.
Okay.
Because there was a window. Let me switch here. There was a window for that,
mm-hmm.
and it sort of got pushed
it's
to the side, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're ever, you know, this is beyond, you know, horses out the barn door. They're in other parts of the country making other babies at this point in time now.
Exactly. Mhm. I mean, Professor, as you're digesting all this, do you come away with the takeaway that this shit's not going away anytime soon? That it's almost forming something?
It's not going to be allowed to go away. This is too much a cash cow, so to speak. One of the things that I would love to know, and we saw a little bit of this with one of our esteemed senators from the state of North Carolina, because he started some Wall Street movement with his own portfolio along with his I think it was his son-in-law or some relative.
Yeah.
I would love to know how many shares of Pfizer and J&J and whatever else.
That's right.
A lot of these people bought.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep.
And see, the other thing that I'm wondering about with all of this, having been a somewhat conservative person most of my life anyway, is
mm-hmm.
to know, in the last 18 months to 2 years, how many?
Right.
I mean, before the last 2 years, how many times have you heard the term trillion?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you heard the word billion talking about money.
Yep.
You heard billion
yep.
talking about being light years or miles
yep.
or whatever, away
mm-hmm.
and out of space. But you didn't hear
yep.
the word trillion. And we hear the word trillion so much now that we don't even blink. You know,
that's a good point.
And all these things out there, you know, we're talking about the government printing money. We just in the last few days heard the term inflation. Now, if you know anything about economics, at some point in time, no matter what you put out, you got to put something back in.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we went off the gold standard, God knows when, how long ago for real. But, you know, in the last 20, 30 years, I know for real, we've been off of it. So, you know, there's nothing really supporting the money that we have, quote unquote, in the bank.
Yep.
But having said that, you know, how many people out there, you know, and see, this is what, I mean, on one hand, you have these people out there who are, shall we say, proactive and protesting and trying to point things out, and I understand that. Some of it I appreciate, some of it I don't. But by the same token, you got some of those same people who, for whatever reason, because their guy Trump has not mentioned any of this, they don't mention any of this. And my question is, at some point in time, these chickens are prone to come home to roost. And my question is, are they going to have a home to roost in? Are they going to be roosting in trees? Are they going to be roosting on the ground?
Yep.
Or what? Because at some point in time, we invariably end up having to pay for this stuff. And right now, I mean, you know, heaven forbid, you know, I'm on Medicare, so I see some things going on there. And, you know, and if you've watched, if you've seen between Jimmy Walker and Joe Namath, they keep talking about zero.
Yeah, and they line out their ass too.
you don't have to pay for nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
you pay for it, all right.
I mean, trust me, I like having them little cars. It's one one or two of them are like they give you. I think two of them are like cards that you can just go pay, and you got so much on the card. So at the end of the year, you know. You get, I think, $1,744, whatever it is.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, though, ain't nobody, you know, my light bill gets paid. I paid my light bill week before last now. Okay.
Right.
In about 10 days, they're going to send me another little envelopes, and it's going to say, you owe us X amount of dollars. Now, inherent with that, you owe us, you will pay us by, and say, normally, on the 10th of the month, you got to pay them up.
Right.
Or not, by
the
15th, by the 15th, I'll be talking to you in the dark.
There you go. That's right.
And my point is simply this. At some point in time, this stuff's got to be paid for. And, and trust me. Reggie, this is no reflection on anything, because the Democrats and the Republicans have put their nuts in the sand here and said, okay, step on them. And stepped on them. And they're out there. And see,
I believe that.
A couple of these congressmen and senators are bailing out. You know, they're the real upfront punks. But then the rest of them still in there. And they're you know, the infrastructure should have been, you know, how many $1 trillion is that?
Come on,
and mind you, again, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing because we had how many years of Obama didn't do nothing, how many years of Bush didn't do nothing,
Bush and
4 years
and
Trump
didn't
do nothing. You know,
that's exactly right.
The one place I can say that's really set that can handle this is down going across Pontchartrain in New Orleans area. You know how the road there is elevated for like 20 some miles, but it by design is all they got to do is stick a hook down in the water with off a barge, take a hook, put it in the water, pull those things up. And put them back up on the side, and they're ready to go driving again.
But
that's not the case in all these other places. When that bridge fell up near Boston a few years ago, on I-95.
Yep.
I mean, back in the day, I rode across that bridge several times. There's one in Connecticut that fell. Rode
across Miami's bridge.
Yep. Hyannis Bridge,
You know, the bridge, it was like bang. Watch it disappear. And see, none of this, you go penny wise and dollar foolish. That's government, and that's people in the general. And I say, with some of these things, it's cool to get it, But you know, at the same time, you know, like now they've gone so far out askew out there. They're trying to say, well, you know, Social Security, these people, who was it, Jimmy Walker and somebody else, when they started advertising about 3 years ago, when they started advertising about the new Medicare,
yes.
One or two of these people use a term to see, this is call and see what you're entitled to.
Yes.
When they start these new advanced accounts. Okay.
Yeah.
From that point on, what did they start saying about Medicare? They didn't tell you that you pay. They don't remember suddenly that you pay for Social Security, and you pay for trust me, you pay for Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they had mentioned quote and see what you're entitled to, all of a sudden, what do you got? You got these clowns in Congress talking about getting rid of entitlements, Medicare,
right,
and Social Security. And now, if you pay for it, you are entitled to it based on what the rules are. But it's not an entitlement the way most things the government's, because Reggie, you're a veteran. They're talking about going after veteran benefits because a veteran only serves 20 years. Well, trust me. Yes, there are guys in the military who I've known who serve great 30 plus years. We had one here in Philadelphia who served 38 years. He was a warrant officer. And, you know, it was nothing to see this guy running down the road when he was 70 some years old. But, you know, he's there. Them guys that jump out of them airplanes,
yep.
They don't, you know, and see, First Sergeant, Warrant Officer Anderson, I think he was airborne at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But when he specialized in computer, he was one of the first ones that specialized in computer and accounting and all that kind of stuff. And they sent him to school. I mean, this guy ended up with at least two master's degrees. But
okay.
The short of it is, he was there and he paid his price. And when he retired, you know, he was collecting about 3 or 4 checks from the military because even after he got out,
and deservedly so. Yes.
This is the kind of nonsense that has been they've been able to infiltrate into the language, so that
yes.
Things that we used to see as a staple, we now see as this is I won't, Michael served, well, Reggie served 20 plus years, did the combat thing, all that other stuff. And now I want him to feel bad because we're paying him money.
Exactly. It's a guilt thing. They twist the whole logic behind it. Reggie hit on it earlier in the interview with my daughter when he was talking about the fact that people are under siege to be nurses. And you wouldn't think that because it's a profession that has a lot of responsibility with it, but a lot of perks, you know, guaranteed income, et cetera, all that stuff. And Reggie, you know, the thing I find most illuminating about this is that folks are not dying to be nurses now because they don't know what to make of this thing. Is Reggie there? Reggie?
Well, Mike, we have nursing school at Winston-Salem State and one down the street from me at Fayetteville State. And we do have people coming in from the military who are in nursing school because we've had a couple of volunteers. But among the things, I mean, nursing has changed so much in the almost 50 years since I've been associated with Winston's nursing school. You know, it used to be just straight up nursing. I think you had a choice of being going to an emergency room, intensive care, all those kind of things. You know, we have a lady at our church who's a nurse. She's on the road. She's been on the road for the last 18 months.
Okay.
You know, she has done everything from standard, what we would call standard nursing, to, you know, social. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there now that nurses can do. And a lot of what they're doing are those other things now. They're not going into the hospital. They're not, I mean, you know, a lot of them, where they used to have an RN, you'd have a practical nurse and whatever, with the CNAs and all those kind of things. And, you know, nursing was, but the strain for getting nurses has been going on so long. I can remember one young lady I knew, she was going to go to Hawaii because they were lacking nurses in general, but they really wanted black nurses. So what did they do? They paid. They gave her a house.
Oh yeah.
And she was allowed to fly home three times a year.
Yep.
And you know she got a signing bonus that was almost as much as a lot of nurses other places were making.
Listen,
but that's how desperate they were out there.
In California, back in the day, they were asking for Filipino nurses. We had all the nurses
on the front line. Wow,
when
they put them on the front line,
man. When the man closes the door for Filipino nurses.
Oh yeah, listen, up in Canada,
that's my question. You put certain nurses on the front line. That's the part. That's just like sending the black GIs to the damn front lines of the damn war zone. You know, you in the midst of the hotbed. You know,
they're getting hazard pay in theory, though, because I know up in Canada, nurses who were going to school in British Columbia were offered $10,000, $15,000 bonuses. Like Gary said, free moving your stuff for where you got to go from A to B, as long as you had like a 2-year commitment to a hospital in the States. They've been doing that since I first came to Canada in the early 90s, and I'm sure it's still going on now to a lesser degree. So your point about nurses and the fragility of their situation, Reggie, was on point. That's what I was trying to get back at you at, because I don't know if as many women or girls are that psyched up to be nurses now, knowing what's in front of them, knowing what they've seen with 700,000+ people in America.
Yeah.
Dying.
But that's my thing. We've seen Cuba when their health care professionals, and it's amazing how the United States would turn those guys down, and they are high quality professionals when it comes to the doctors out of Cuba. It's amazing how they fight
against the enemy. You know why? Because Donald Trump didn't like the Cuba. That's why he was let him in.
Right.
Mike, something you're forgetting here. Do you realize that among nurses now, how many males are becoming nurses?
Yeah, a whole lot of males.
A becoming nurses now.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the money you're
that.
Making, shit. But one thing about you have these male nurses. They don't have the professionalism, and some of them, and the bedside man, you can forget it. You can imagine a man come in there, and he's saying, okay, let me take your temperature. And, I mean, come on. I know when I see a female nurse, especially a sexy one, my perk up. You get old big Billy Bob up in there, you like, let me check you. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Keep your ass away. And don't let the old redneck cracker up in there. Coach Charmaine the God, don't let the redneck cracker that don't want to wipe your ass or be nothing. You really going to catch it. I mean, come on, man. We've seen abuse in the nursing home before.
The thing that I found, though, among the guys who become nurses, they it's different, but... You know, you got people who, I guess you could say, you could tell it's kind of their calling. They're not just becoming nurses just for the sake of becoming nurses. And that's the whole thing because if you understand how nursing is done, the teaching method, this is why when you go to nursing school, they have to talk. And they tell you up front, among the things that can wash you out of being a nurse is not that you don't know how to be a nurse as far as the science part goes. There's also the living part, the part where you got to go in there and you got to be compassionate. You got to do whatever.
Yeah, the bedside manner.
Because, I mean,
that's right.
you know, rest her soul, one of my former girlfriends was a nursing student, and she did not, and they put it, they kept telling her, you do not apply yourself to being a nurse. There's, you know, nurses are ad hoc doctors. And they're the ones who do the treatment the doctors prescribe. And because of that, there are things you have to do that, you know, the ordinary person would not do in their job. But at the end of the day, if you don't do those things, then the level of care goes down. And see, nurses are human beings.
Yeah,
and because of that, a lot of the things that you hear from people about negative about nurses, most of those that you find that are like that won't be nurses long because they wash out.
Exactly. And that's what I think overall this atmosphere that Leah was discussing, you can imagine if it's in Canada like that, you know in certain parts of the States it's like that. And having to wash through all of that is a scary premise because it does test your patience. It does check your professionalism at the door every time you go on shift. And you don't know what the fuck is going to happen, and you don't know how people are going to react, especially in an unstable situation like what they've got in Alberta, Canada.
And Mike, remember early on in the pandemic, you were seeing, you know, folks on social media talking about the mental and physical strain that they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that was early in the pandemic. I almost want to know, of all these professionals that we saw, you know, that would go to social media, how many of them are still doing their job? But I guess most importantly, how many of them are still with us?
No,
we talk about the 700,000, but think of, you know, how many of those are health professionals that pass.
Yes. The front line.
One of the early suicides that we heard about was a young lady who was a nurse. Who had worked like 6 or 7 12-hour shifts, and then because she didn't want to, matter of fact, one was a nurse and one was a doctor, and because they didn't want to go home and fall asleep and miss their next shift, they actually sleeping. I guess they call it like a ward room or whatever. They're in the hospital, and because of that, both of them ended up committing suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I was asking Mike's sister about what kind of therapy session they had. They are very open about that in Alberta. I'll give them that. There are sometimes some wide berths in their philosophy and mentality of some people who live there, but it's a very family-oriented province. Things that they have for kids and things that build up from the family down, from parents to children and everything else in between, they do a decent job with that. It almost counters for some of that other cuckoo shit that's going on out there. But I want to give Gary the last word on this before we change subject, and Patrick Farrar is in the house.
I'm just concerned about the disabled community because it really it rocked. I mean, I have lost so many friends the past 2 years. I, I
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can understand that.
And that is no joke. Patrick, can you hear us?
Can you hear me, fellas?
Yes.
What's
we got
up, Baker Mayfield? You back in stride now, ain't you, Baker?
Hey, yeah, he's somewhere. What's up, fellas?
What's up, my brother? Now, fellas, I need to get back on this Aaron Rodgers reason and his reasoning for one important reason. Now, we know that he'll go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's a given. They're going to put him in there. But we also know that the sports writers and their presumed power in fucking the people's lives is in effect here. Now, we know if, let's say, Lamar Jackson did that, do you think, whether he wins Super Bowls or not, when it's time for him to be put up for induction or election, do you think they're going to say that we're not letting this black motherfucker in because he lied? Or they're going to say, well, he needs to get a pass on that shit? You know what's going on because
back up. I've lost my.
Listen,
wait a minute. We talking about Aaron Rodgers, right?
I'm saying if Aaron Rodgers was Lamar Jackson, and we know already that they resent this kid, whether he wins a Super Bowl or not, whether he's successful or not, his future comes down to being as simple as black and white. No
shit, you put Russell Wilson in there.
Michael.
I'm
going to tell you.
Oh, hold on.
God is black.
God is black. Everybody knows God is white.
Everything the white man taught you, you accept it. He taught you black.
Now, why you have to go
to
the truth? Why you have to go do that?
With white skin.
Now, why
you believe?
Why you look, they pissed
he taught you that black was a curse, and you believe that. Did you ever look up the word black in a dictionary?
Or
did you ever study anything that wasn't
black.
Part of some con?
What the hell for, man?
And then brought Malcolm to tell him. How dare you? How
come
dare you, Mike? How dare you? Why you
black.
Gonna bring Malcolm to tell
the
man? How dare you? How dare you?
Mike.
In darkness,
Mike.
Hence, utterly
yeah.
dismal or gloomy. As the future.
Yo, turn the tape off.
Soiled with dirt. Foul. Sullen. Hostile, and as a black day, foully or outrageously wicked, as black cruelty, indicating disgrace, dishonor, or color.
Keep
of
on
race.
That critical race theory. They're going to turn you off.
And there's
man.
A black man, black,
like
ball,
like it.
Black
keep
God.
On. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of message. You better turn it off.
Reggie. My boy was supposed to be a judge
on the color of pure snow, reflecting
Lord
all the rays of the spectrum, the opposite of black.
I can't hear nothing.
Free from spot or blemish.
Free.
Innocent. Pure. There's something without evil intent, harmless,
without evil intent,
honest, square dealing, and honorable. Wait a minute, this is written by white folks, though, right? I mean, this white folks' book.
This sure ain't no black man's book.
So what are we reading this one for?
Because the truth is lying there. If you read behind the word.
Keep on.
That's right. Innocent, square dealing, the color of pure snow. What a bunch of horseshit.
Oh,
and Gary opened up the show. Rodgers went to Cal Berkeley, so he's supposedly smart. But
yeah. He's
smart enough to know that
you said supposedly.
He can obfuscate a situation and make himself innocent in his explanation
because
after all, he quoted Martin Luther King. Get the entire fuck out of here.
Oh, boy. Yes, he did.
That's what they do.
And this is the shit that
the
my nose. I don't even have to.
Oh,
I don't even have to discuss this anymore. I gotta go straight to fucking sentencing.
Oh God! Oh damn! Why all these guys? What the fuck is that? Man?
Oh,
if it pleased the motherfucking court. We've heard this bullshit for over 2 weeks of testimony. Aaron Rodgers is an arrogant piece of shit. He defied the law and said straight up, I'm white, I don't have to do this shit, and because I'm white, you have to believe me and say that I'm good for my word. Well, no, I have to say that you're guilty. You're guilty of felony, assholery, scumbaggery, and motherfuckery in the first degree.
T-Mac, give me the ruling on that in Western Dictionary, T-Mac. You got to see. What is the rule on that, T-Mac? Oh, God. Man, you worse than Michael Jackson making up words. God, love. That one floored me.
So to go back to my Hall of Fame statement, if we all have votes for the Hall of Fame, okay, and Aaron Rodgers' name comes up, are you voting him in based on his career, or are you going to vote him in, or are you going to wait on his vote because he fucking lied like he did? What would you
do?
Two things.
First, Reg, in the state of Virginia or any other states, if somebody says CRT one more time, like my boy was an ex-judge and lower professor, he says, he said 99.99% anybody who says CRT really doesn't can't spell cat, let alone what CRT is.
Thank you.
And secondly, when it comes to that, Aaron Rodgers and what he said and what he did, let's put it this way. He got a one-game sentence, basically, and a lunch money fine.
15 grand, right?
And that's because of the fact that viewership and money of the NFL is up 22% from last year.
They're
messing with one dime.
Up 22%. Ain't that NFL's declining, and they up 22%. Ain't that a bit?
That's right.
Anywhere where colleges is up on Fox TV on colleges? Any idea on that?
I got those, but they're up too, but I don't know the exact numbers. I know they're up.
Yeah. But that is freaking unreal.
Which brings me to the scores from last week's game and our latest edition.
Oh, God.
Appeal General.
Hey. I got to ask Patrick. It's a conspiracy, man. All them big-time people got beat? Oh, hell no. Benny the Fangers and them had something to do with that, man. The coach team at Benny the Fangers and them was some mafia called somebody. That was wild. All those big-time teams went down like that, and Pittsburgh almost lost on Monday night. I mean, I enjoyed Dallas getting the ass whooping, but the rest of them, I couldn't understand. I said, what? Tennessee go and kick the Rams ass?
I told Mike last week, a bunch of folks, like last night, Sunday night about 7 o'clock, a bunch of folks lost their mortgage last night, at that night, Sunday night.
I believe it.
Just one game. Anybody that put money on Dallas in the fourth quarter when they were down by
a whole lot
That's
of them,
right.
too. And the Rams,
either they lost the money or the wife left them, or both. Because I'm just telling you, they were, money was flying out the window. But somewhere, go on, Rich.
But, Patrick, this thing ain't really got me. Have you ever, in your professional career, seen that many upsets with so-called, you know, front-running teams? I couldn't believe it.
Anything can happen. And that happens.
And anything can happen because money happens. Now, I saw that Chiefs-Packers game with Jordan Love getting his first stint as a field general.
Poor fella.
I have to say that Kansas City is probably the most vulnerable they've been ever since Patrick Mahomes started. Everything was speaking that Kansas City should lose that game. And they didn't get enough to get it done. But the sum total, 20-point score. Now, Tony and I were talking about this as we were looking at the action at the Monday night game. And Tony discovered that every over-under in the league last week was at least 40 points. In one case, Jacksonville was a 16.5-point underdog against the Colts, or rather, excuse me, against the Bills. And, of course, Jacksonville upset in that game. But 15 points were scored there. Carolina lost 25-6. The Giants beat the Raiders 23-16. There were at least five games where the under took the measure. And we know the over has been running big time in the casinos and in the betting. Tony, if you would.
I guess he ain't.
Is he betting or is he going to the bathroom? Tony?
I had a ham sandwich.
Wait,
nah,
you could get both.
hey, Patrick, where was my man OJ going? Since they got Jennifer out of Cleveland, where's he going? OBJ.
I don't know where. I think where he should go is L.A., quite frankly. He can't go to the Raiders because Deshaun Jackson's there.
That's right. Yeah, the Raiders just signed with the Raiders. What about Seattle?
I think Seattle would be a good spot for him. But actually, I don't know. I know Green Bay, they say Green Bay, but I don't think Green Bay is a spot for him, personally.
No,
and
I
don't see that.
I was telling one of my main sources of stuff about the Browns guy who writes for the Browns, used to write for the Browns, but he still is in contact with the people up there very much so every day. And he said it best. And he said what I was saying. The Browns have a system of how all teams have systems. They all have systems. But Browns have a strict system based upon a scheme that doesn't feature anybody in particular. It features the moment. And you know, quite frankly, OJ. Beckham has to be featured in the offense because of his unique ability. And it's true. It's true. I'm at his best when he was a Giants number one receiver. That's when he shined. But again, the system that Stefanski has and it's shown to be successful works like that because nobody except this case of Nick Chubb. He's out for Sunday's game because he got the cooties too. It's a system and offense, and no one's going to stick out. So you know, and the thing that I mentioned, Mike, that we must talk about because it's true, and I've heard it and I know it. Even when he was with the Giants, and I was in the locker room with him. Beckham is not a guy that teammates don't like. Teammates like Beckham because they see how he works. Yes, he's flamboyant. Yes, he's loud. But ain't nobody in the team going to outwork him to get prepared to play. Case closed. Yeah. End of story. I've seen it live. I ain't got to hear nobody write about it. I've seen it. I've been to lockers. Yep. I've been to games. Don't nobody work harder than that dude. So obviously, if he's not getting the ball in conjunction with how he puts his effort out to make things happen, put him in a system to where that can be featured. So
right.
I wish him well. I still wish he was on the team. And I say it again, it's better to have more weapons than not enough weapons.
You got that right. Hey, quick one, Patrick. As far as the betting go right now, I mean, like you said, this past week, a lot of people lost their shirts in their homes. Further down the road, this thing is like a snowball. How do you see this thing betting as far as the popularity? Is it going to be out of control or what?
Oh, no, it's going to be out of control. And let me tell you something. I'm going to give you one team that's going to go crazy on. My Ohio State Buckeyes. You know
what?
Oh,
yeah.
This week we play Purdue. Whatever the line is, I'm taking the over. All right? The next week after that, this is what they
Michigan
play.
State. Ohio
they got
State?
Michigan State. They got to play Michigan State right after Purdue. At Purdue.
Oh, shit.
At Purdue. Them heathens from north of us. They come. After that, if they win that, they got to go to the Big Ten Championship. They got four top 20 teams they're going in a row. If they make it, they got to face. Look at Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Well, they'll definitely earn it.
Oh,
yeah.
No
question.
What Alabama got to play Auburn. Brother, that's a toss-up. I don't care what nobody say. And if they get to the SEC championship, they got to play Georgia again.
Just out of curiosity, Patrick, out of curiosity, you buy Cincinnati? Do you think they're
Cincinnati's that good. They're that good.
Nope.
People are underestimating Cincinnati. Cincinnati isn't that good. Matter of fact,
well, look at the competition they're playing, though.
They don't want to look out.
But here's the thing, Reg. I get that when people want to say this. I get that when people want to talk about the conference. But see, in many ways, you're buying into the bullshit because everybody can't be in the – look, everybody can't be part of the five families. But see, here's the thing.
Okay,
hear me out, Reg.
Okay.
Before their national championships, how did you look at Clemson?
Oh, we talking with Forbes? Back in the day with Forbes won it or all the time?
Exactly. Before.
How did you look at back in the day? I mean, they were doing the same thing that SEC was doing.
And that's my point. See, the thing is, if you're going to be the first thing is out of your mouth is, well, look at the everybody can't play in the motherfucking SEC, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's
my question. If Cincinnati wins out and we know a lot of big guys are going to fall in front of them, then they'll work their way in. That's my argument.
But they're already looking at ways to try to see. They're already trying to make waves that they don't belong. That was going on
so
before the playoff.
Right
before, I guess right now they're, what are they, fifth or sixth?
Remember Central Florida when they had a strong team. You know, they should have been in the mix, but they eventually got co-opted out. In large part because of the referees and the NCAA.
Are you saying the fix was in, Mike? How dare you? How dare you?
Motherfucker, I didn't say the fix was in.
But see, here's the thing. Guys, you got to remember, this is nothing new. This happened pre BCS, pre playoff.
Yes.
Hell, remember? Look what they did to Clemson when they won their first title under Jamie Ford. They couldn't hit them with enough sanctions. I mean, they literally got the game.
Yeah, they unloaded them sanctions, boy.
They treated them like an HBCU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, it didn't work. They came after them.
Yeah.
They treated them like SMU. I mean, was it SMU? What's that school in Texas? SMU.
Oh, SMU. SMU's biggest crime was not the fact that they won, but that they out-cheated.
That's right. That's true.
But hey, the minute I look at the books of UNLV basketball team, someone outspending.
And Tony, let me add to that, Tony. And they didn't try to hide it.
No, they didn't.
They're like the Porter sisters. They happy.
It was the perfect storm. It was a perfect storm because, see, the thing is, you got to remember, SMU football's prominence goes, you know, it goes back to like the fifth, back into like, you got to remember, them, TCU, Rice, those schools back in the day ran business. In many ways, they were bigger than, hold your hat, the Texas Longhorns. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, at some point, it was like, oh, we're not having this. And if they hadn't whooped Texas's ass so bad, they might have gotten away with it. But they basically mm-hmm. pulled a Reggie. How fucking dare you come in here?
They were the only team in Texas not run, only white school in Texas that wasn't running the wishbone. But go ahead.
That's true too. Tony, I will tell you this. I got to correct you. Nothing in Texas. College football is bigger than Texas. Okay, nothing's bigger than Texas. The problem, what the issue is, Tony, is that somebody challenged their crown. That's the issue. Even right now, no matter what happens, nothing is bigger than football in Texas because they got their own network just like Notre Dame. It's that big. But again, your premise in terms of his basis is right. TCU, Rice, SMU had challenged him. Wait a minute. How are you going to challenge this in West Texas? Well, we did. And you know, and they were bold because in my years reporting and living down there, I'm going, they do whatever they want to. Tell you, all you guys in South Texas is be there a weekend when Oklahoma plays Texas.
Oh,
like
God.
I was down there for two of them. You'll see what runs in college football in that part of the world. But, again, now it's challenged. And I'm surprised, speaking of Texas, I didn't know when Sarkisian came to town that they have a new first lady of Texas football, college football. Sarkisian's away. Who looks like Diana Ross.
Oh, shit. Hey, but Patrick, real quick, that Pittsburgh and Chicago game, do you think that ref was right to flag him for a taunting?
Well,
that's been a hot-blood issue.
I would say wrong, but I had to agree with Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn said this. It's very true. He said he had to be penalized because, he said, if anybody knows about being – trying to intimidate somebody, it was me. Because something mm-hmm.
happened. But what about that?
What about that Ole Kozig hip check that the ref gave him too?
I thought he was watching hockey. I said, what the hell going on?
Tony, you're right. But he wanted to throw the flag anyway. But the
he had his hand in his pocket as he was going by him.
Yeah.
He had trigger finger ready, boy. That trigger finger was ready.
Tony, but the trick was, Tony, like Keyshawn said, when you make a play and you get up and look and turn your back and go back to your side, your field's fine, but he stood there and looked. He said, you can't do that no more. He said, them days is over.
Yeah.
That was the trick. I said, okay, Keyshawn.
Now all of them are going to be, I feared for my life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
cops on the field.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's going to be their out. That's their base, for lack of a better word. That's their stand your ground. That's going to be their stand your ground thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, my thing is real quick. It was so many penalties where my man quarterback for the Bears just got plastered and no flag. I mean, he just got dug in the damn turf. He
trying to
lay down to try to get himself together.
Rich,
and
they just blew
him bed in it to a flag.
Rich, you know what? What's his name? Justin Smith.
I know.
What's Tom Brady?
Not rookie. His name is rookie. Yeah, rookie.
Come on.
He said, boy, you ain't been in the league long enough to get that call.
You haven't been in the league long enough to get that call.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what
that referee would have said.
Hey.
Yep.
I know, Chicago Bears fans are roasting that coach for not standing for the players. The people calling it on talk show, they were hot. Bears fans were pissed.
To his credit, he wasn't angry enough. I mean, I don't know what game they were watching, but
he was hot. I mean, you know, me and Mike were actually watching the game, and you know, I had the sound down, but one of the key things that I have learned over the years is reading lips. And I hope it's this way. I hope Matt Nagy ain't a Catholic, because he
well, he's trying to say freaky. He got to go to the confession on Monday.
You know how you have the jail. You know, you used to have the jail in a veteran stadium. They needed right next to the replay box. They needed.
What Tony didn't tell you guys is that we were watching the feed.
Now the streaming was different. Tony was 2 minutes ahead of me. Everything was going down. And imagine you're betting on a game like this, and you're trying to make bets. And if I was making a bet, Tony would say, don't make that bet. It's already happened. That brings up a whole
different story. I bet a lot of people are doing that, too.
Well, yeah. That's the crazy thing. Well, first of all, the thing that bothers me the most is I could see – now look. Me and Mike are both in the East Coast. We're what do we say, Mike? About 75 miles, 80 miles between me and you.
150 miles.
150 miles. Okay.
That
big of a disparity. And again, I could see if it was a Sunday and you had numerous games on. This is the only damn game.
Tony, the reason why it works is one word called algorithms. Algorithms.
Ooh.
Algorithms is the reason it works. The premise that you're talking about is logistically correct. It's 100% correct. Algorithms dictate when the bet is secure or when it's initiated and how it's be paid.
Now, humor me a bit here. For Jersey, now does Jersey do like they do Vegas in the sense where they can literally bet games quarter by quarter or something to that effect?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Yep. You would have thought they'd have learned from what the Vegas Knights did. I mean, there were guys in the sports books in Vegas that had to sell their children to catch up to the money that they lost with the Vegas Knights.
But again, Tony, those algorithms and technology can dictate what needs to be done based upon when the bets are made, no matter when you put them in. Well, I put it in 2:00. The games are 2:02. They don't care. Algorithms run. Let me give a perfect example. I talked to my interns about it recently. We talk about commercials on TV. Turns out commercials went from minute to half minute to the 15 seconds. To 5 seconds. The reason why it works because technology that dictates how it runs, no one person has run it now. It's in the computer. At that particular time, it's going to run, no matter what we think. The same thing is applied without going into anything complicated, to the bet, particularly the betting, because that's why it works. I got a prop bet that and on against Cowboys and Broncos, it's going to be 30-0. I'm going to put it in 2 minutes. During the advertising before the fourth quarter, I'm a win. You can do it and you can win because it's already in the system to win. It's not like it was where the bookie could say, I'll put it in at 2:00 and I want to dispute the time. No, we can't. That's what pisses all the boys with the broken noses because they can't control.
Oh, I know. Hey, that's why I don't call him Jimmy the Finger for nothing. So I just, you know, put it this way. I almost had to bail out my sister this week because she's the only Denver Bronco fan in the state of Connecticut. And she put it this way. She talked so much shit. I thought I was going to build a horse ranch
because of all the shit that you talked about on Sunday.
I'm glad for.
I bought her a brand new Denver Bronco hoodie. Now they also started the losing streak the day that I got it. That ain't my fault.
I predict for the next couple of weeks, the betting folks are going to go crazy. Of course, it's getting hot.
Yep.
This half the season. This half the season, they're going crazy.
Yeah.
All I got to say is
now,
Jacksonville.
Now you're going to see who's really going towards the playoffs and the Super Bowl because we got
mm-hmm.
half the games in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to say is Jacksonville, Buffalo. 15 points scored. Buffalo was favored by 16.5 points. And the
mm-hmm.
over, I remember Tony told me, had to be like 48. So
mm-hmm.
you get a legitimate upset. Okay, thank you. You get a legitimate upset. 15 points scored. Jacksonville covers. The under covers. We know those are the two least likely scenarios on that betting strand. So on that game alone, tell me how much money. And, Patrick, you got the dollars and the digits right on this, but it's got to be in the millions, easy, for that one game.
My calculator can't work like that, but you're right.
mm-hmm. That sounded eerily like the Rams Patriots, the get back Super Bowl after giving away all that money for the pass interference against the Saints. They made sure they got their money back for the Super Bowl for that always exciting, never boring 13-3.
Let's keep this in mind. All we're saying in some forms of fashions all have legitimacy. But let's keep this in mind. What happened last year that made the Super Bowl so exciting? Besides them giving Tom Brady some calls he never should have had.
Well, cause mm-hmm. it was clearly the halftime show with The Weeknd.
Yeah. I can't forget that. Ever. I would never want
to
forget that.
I liked it even better. I liked it even better when he came back on and did his stripper thing on the afterwards.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep last night to eat the food at lunch at halftime. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, here's what it is, guys. If anything that they want to see, the Rams in the Super Bowl in L.A. What will that do to Rams?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hell, they'll even settle for the Chargers at this point if they can.
I'm telling you.
Because if they really wanted to see the Rams in the Super Bowl, they wouldn't have took Matthew Stafford. Because the boy!
That's true. True on both accounts.
Imagine LA being Super Bowl in LA.
It's up, yeah. Ooh, it's definitely out there.
Wait, guess what else is out there too? What else is happening in LA about 3 weeks later?
What the Lakers gonna lose another game?
No, NBA All Star game.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God. God, I can't watch Matthew Stafford on Super Bowl. But you know what? I'm pulling out my 3 Stooges tape right the hell now.
That is too funny.
I'm telling you. Not to the business end, but I'm telling you. That's why I'm OBJ. I'm going to L.A.
Yeah.
And plus, you got a home out there, too?
Oh, he has a home everywhere. He's America's guest.
They're willing to ride with a mediocre. He's not even mediocre. They're willing to ride with a mediocre quarterback rather than an exemplary black one. Everybody's forgetting how Lamar Jackson has grown. You know, when he was still forming, they were like, well,
mm-hmm.
If you go up on him, he can't come back. He's not built to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson has had four come-from-behind victories on double-digit situations.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad for a running back, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
And unfortunately, guys, we got to do really. There's still some of these white boys out there and still believe he's not as good as they think he is.
Come on.
That's his
reason. Mike, he should play better defense. That way he don't get behind in the first place.
There you go, Fred.
The color boys can play quarterback on defense, but they can't play.
Come on.
Really got to throw the ball. Although we're gonna get him when we play them, play Cleveland East. But you know, my thoughts were this: he needs to go back and watch. He shouldn't have watched the Olympics. Because that tumble he did, he came close to getting his arm and neck than he did going into the end zone.
Yeah. That's going in. You're right.
Hopefully, I get the feeling that though that was a one-time thing because he has. I'm pretty sure somebody took him to the side and just said, "Don't do that."
No, they should run out on the field and talk. No, don't ever do that again. Mm-hmm. Don't even trip to do that.
I was told as a very young child, never put your ass over your head, and that's the reason why I'm still living now.
And here's another thing to add to the aspect of what Lamar Jackson has done. He has pissed off some people.
Yes,
because he's played, guys, it's because he is the antithesis of his look of what they want to be.
That's
a
right.
leader representing the NFL.
You got that right.
Because he knows something.
Yep.
Are you trying to say he doesn't look white enough, or he don't look?
Don't get his hair being braided. Don't forget that. They're so envious of him. They tried to shrink him. Because remember, he's 6'3". We just saw Fields play on Monday night. They're the same size. Or the same height.
Same size.
And
same height.
Bill Polian tried to shrink him. Some other announcer tried to make him.
Oh, he's been paying for that.
Like
Bill Polian been paying for that.
Yeah. And so no matter what they do.
Yeah. And Mike, deal with this, Mike. Despite the fact of what he's done in terms of really, to me, the only legitimate MVP in the league, let me ask you a question. Fred, maybe you can ask because for me, Fred. How many national commercials he got?
Come on.
No, I don't think he got none, do we?
I don't even think he has any local commercials.
Nope. It's Mahomes.
It's Mayfield.
And Aaron Rodgers.
And Gronkowski got some, but
hell,
he ain't got.
Kyler, you would think just off of those shitty Heisman commercials that he would be in there.
That's the only one you see him on. He's in a Heisman commercial one.
And they always have him in the background, you know, eating something.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with eating, Mike, but you know.
Mike,
yes, sir.
Should I hear what I told you this afternoon on college?
Oh yeah. Come on with it.
Drum roll, Mike. Gentlemen, I'll start. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
We hear you.
Okay. I'm gonna start with this. I'll make it real plain. If I can make it real plain.
Where is it at? It was right here in a second. Is it right here? Where did I put it? Oh, here it is.
Yeah. All right.
It's like this. All right. Tony, you know who this is. Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson famously warned mamas don't let your son grow up to be cowboys. But country music stars have encouraged them to be like college coaches been fired instead. You know why? Because there is a boom in dead money in college sports that will absolutely blow you away. The boom is that athletic departments and the FBS programs have spent more than $533.6 billion in dead money over the last 11-year period from January 1st, 10 to January 21st, 2021. That's money in these programs owed to coaches in football, men's and women's basketball, who were fired without cause and left at the time before they made their contracts. Severance pay made over several years, or in some cases, just one lump sum. Remarkably, the money is actually much more than that, right? Payments for many coaches who've been fired after 2020 and 2021 still get money alone, all right? FBS schools have committed another $107 million for severance pay before mitigation to be fired coaches and staff for 2020. Now, the best thing about this is actually this one that I think Mike liked more than anything else when I mentioned it to him. We talk about the top 10 in sports. Well, let me give you the top 10 programs that have put out the most money in spending across the country over the last 10 years. Here, top 10.
I'm guessing. Let me see. Can I guess the top one? Maybe not so much in order. I'm gonna guess Texas is
can
in
you
there.
Hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess the Texas is in there.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I know what happened here. I got a loose thing here. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we hear you. I'll repeat what I said. I'm guessing Texas is in that top 10.
Oh. You're a bet man, ain't you? Number one, Auburn. $32.1 million in contracts. One on Gene Sissek, which is Mike's favorite coach, and Gus Malone.
No shit.
Number two is Nebraska, $25 million. Number three, Tony, is Texas.
When was their last winning season?
They got $24 million owed to
Owing him Herman.
Owe him. The one that said when he told Urban Meyer he was going to beat him the first chance he got, he played against him. Okay. Yeah, he beat him on that. Ole Miss owed $20 million.
That God-fearing man, Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze, that's right, that's number one. Number two is Houston Nutt and Matt Luke. Number three of all places, Kansas. They keep can't get it right. They fire Turner Gill, Charlie White.
Wait, you know what? Anytime you give a man named Nut money, damn, you know that's on you anyway. Proceed.
That's $14.4 million.
$14.4 million.
Damn.
Next is Arizona. All right, they got a guy named Todd Graham. But the thing is, they gave Herb Siskin, who was a pretty good basketball coach, they gave him $2.5 million. Of all places, South Carolina, $16.8 million.
Look at that.
A whole lot of cotton in the fields there, buddy.
Some of that from the ball coach, right?
It's Muschamp's retirement fund. That's $12.9 million.
Wow. These are golden parachutes for losing fucking coaches. Think about that. An executive gets a golden parachute. Sometimes it's like, look, we're paying you to get the fuck out. We don't want to deal with you anymore. You're paying these guys for losing. You're rewarding them for mediocrity.
Mike, go on, friend.
This is the waiver that started some years ago. I want to say in the later 80s, early 90s,
And the University of North Carolina had his coach with no personality. Well, let's put it like this. He had a personality with paper bags back in the days when they used paper bags in stores. His name was Dick Crum. Carolina had, I want to say, 2 years left on his contract. And now he's at University of North Carolina where they had the great personality named Dean Smith coaching basketball.
Oh, Lord.
And they had the young lady was a women's basketball coach, and he was great personality. And he had less than they did, so they paid him $880,000 not to coach two more years. Get out of town, go home, go wherever. Just be, you know, just don't be here a month. Basically, what it boiled down to. Anyway. From that point on, coaches started getting these contracts that said, hey, fire me all you want to. I get paid for whatever's left on my contract.
Exactly.
Or in some rare cases, okay, we'll negotiate a pro rata share of how much is left on my contract and let you off the hook. Well, as it has played out, we have had since that time back in the early 90s, because I think he was there.
Okay.
Crum, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Crum was there when Lawrence Till and all them guys were there early on. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever happened back then, he didn't continue past those years. But he was winning, but he didn't have a proper personality for the Carolina tradition.
He wasn't as dynamic as
they started that nonsense of paying coaches to go away. And so if you go back and look, when is the last time you heard one of them guys, you know, act like a brother or a sister when they fired them? How do they leave? They just pack themselves. He's on out. He's on down the road.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because
they never getting paid.
Yeah. He needed the dynamic personality of a Bill Guthridge.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one last one, guys.
Well, you forgot Matt Doherty. And like Roy Williams was such a dynamic personality.
Yeah.
You know, the only time Roy Williams was a dynamic personality was when he cut loose on those guys. Because you know how young brothers like say, my bad, when they make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he lit into them. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. And I think somebody said to them, hey, that's the way young black men talk. You need to get the hell off their ass. Because it was a couple of newspapers made comments
about all crack away of doing things.
Interestingly, one of those guys that did say something, he mysteriously got transferred to another to cover another team. So, you know,
I got one more for you. This was a killer. All right, Oregon got some money, and A&M Aggies got about sixty million, at least $9 million with the Kevin Sumlin brother.
Right.
He got something, but. UCLA has $15.5 million in money. All right, it goes to Jim Mora. All right, football coach, basketball coach Ben Howland, who wasn't a bad coach, and Steve Howard all collect $15.5 million. But here's the thing: it's a trip. Not one single dollar went to their assistants.
Wow.
Heck no. You've heard of some schools, like when Taylor was at Hampton, Taylor told Reggie's friend, Dr. Harvey, I don't want no more money. Let me take care of my coordinators. Let me take care of my assistant coach and all this kind of stuff, right? And he refused. That's why Coach Taylor ended up going to FAMU. People don't realize this. When you see all these people on the sidelines, a lot of times, okay, the OC and the DC, they're gonna be getting clean. One of them is one of One of them is going to be the assistant head coach in case, for whatever reason, the coach is not there, or he's going to be the one that you get moved up. Okay, those are at the Big Five schools. Those are mostly million-dollar-plus positions now, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go to the various position coaches. You know, you go to the various position coaches. There's money in some of those spots, but a lot of those spots ain't that deep. And because of that, when you see a lot of these guys, you know, that's why you see guys making moves like right now. You know, they're moving here or there. Because I've seen guys get hung out to dry, especially the late coaching team. The coach decide he don't want to take so-and-so with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, because, see, a lot of times you hire coaches, you hire a whole squad of coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they don't get
– Billy Martin kept Art Fowler fed basically for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is too funny.
He was paid to be a professional friend. No question about that shit.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's like the old SNL skit. Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Yeah, yeah. And Fred, you're exactly right, Fred, about coaches as bunches. Let me tell you, the biggest coaching we all know events that stir up the Super Bowl and World Series, but let me tell you the biggest event that everybody who in that profession is going to be at in terms of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA
Final Four
basketball tournament that week.
Oh.
The coaches convention is that week too.
That's right. Coach convention is that week.
Yeah.
Guys who ain't got a job, they're going to borrow money from whoever they can borrow to get there because coaches are made not only for high school but the pros.
Really?
That
I think that some coach trying to get in touch with you, Patrick.
No, that was my bad. My bad. That was Jimmy the Finger. I forgot to turn my sound down on my phone. That's my bad.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, T, it was a bad week last week. It was a bad week.
Make that broke motherfuckers online too as well. I'm sorry.
Yeah, really. I'm just glad I kept my sister out of jail this week.
I'm just pissed so I won't get fined.
Because I know guys. When I was in the league and as a reporter, I'm going, guys, they're getting out of town.
Yes, sir.
I'll see when I get back. I got to get them 3 days from that Thursday to that Saturday to get there and network that. Oh, please. I know reporters. That's how, God bless his soul, my boy Foley, he just died about 2 years ago. He was an NBA scout, and he was around me. I was around him for years. But that, two things he did: he went to that. He wasn't a coach, but he got to be a scout. Mm-hmm. What he did do, he got to be a scout and evaluated NBA players for all the teams, and that's how he built his business. And what he would do, would go to that convention. They go to that Chicago when the NBA draft came out when it was down.
I think it was down in Virginia for a while, and
then it moved to Chicago. That's how he made his second living, and he worked so hard those 3 days and made so much damn money. When it's over, every year he's a fly down to the American Republic to recuperate for a week and come back. That's how deep it is.
Hey, Patrick, real quick. Okay, right now, when it comes to the final games coming out, Ohio State, where do you see those guys coming down the stretch that they went out? And also Franklin at Penn State. What do you think he'll coach next year?
I think he's going. I think he might be in West USC.
USC, yeah.
When they ask him that, he says, "I'm coaching right now." He didn't say no.
That's
the thing. That's the thing. Never was a culpable deniability.
Tony, is this a Senate hearing?
That's true.
January 6th trial, Senate hearing.
Let me ask you a question. When they came at Mike Tomlin about to drop, what did he say?
You ain't got big enough boosted check for me to go. I said, go ahead, Newt. That cap stood up.
He shot the shield that day. But let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Brother,
lean on the shield.
No lie. Did Franklin say that? Nope.
He won the next week, too, didn't he?
Yep.
He was auditioning for the job, professor.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he was auditioning for the job.
So he earned. He basically earned himself. He basically earned himself an extra week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when he went up against Ohio State, y'all shined his shoes and gave him an ass whooping. Tell him go back home. Go back on top of the mountain. Y'all sent him
on
top of the mountain.
We good, but we might lose one of the next three games. So that's how tough it is. There's gonna be some upsets, brother.
If Cincinnati wins out, that's why I said the team. If Cincinnati wins out, you know these teams will be dropping. They're up in the fourth ring.
I'm guessing there's gonna have to be shenanigans from all the top five,
I agree.
It's going to have to be across the board because, again, their whole thing is, a one-loss team in the SEC deserves to be taken care of more than an undefeated team from a non-Power 5 conference. I literally want to drive to wherever they're at and slap the taste out of his mouth and his mama's mouth for saying that.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that to mom.
But you know, but Tony.
You brought him into this world. We're gonna have to take you out. That's all I'm saying.
True. But to your point. We're asking the threat. If Cincinnati loses one game, how far
they're
do
done.
They fall?
They're done.
Mm-hmm.
They're done.
Put it this way, Mike. They may have a Connecticut Bowl, which they play down here in at the Rensselaer Field. That's where they'll be.
Hey, they go to Puerto Rico for the bowl in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, put it this way. They'll come down here. All the chicken wings and insurance policies you can eat.
Come on. Now there you go stereotyping, T. You know, chicken wings are down. We pushing thighs, man.
Well, maybe put it this way. Maybe less wings and more insurance policies because it is the state of Connecticut.
I'm thinking gizzards, but what do I know? But gentlemen, before we go, I want to get to where Gary left us in the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Cal is this close to forfeiting. They've moved the game to December 4th because 70,000 motherfuckers want to pay their tickets to see them play, including Gary. So, how close are we?
There's an insult in there somewhere, but I can't really.
All
I'm saying is, will there be a forfeit in college football?
Hell no. Too much money.
Not the quiz way, Mike. Not in here we say it. The top, you know, not in the five families.
No,
it's going to be, and see again, with the possibility of one of them schools or possibly both of them getting that sixth win, so they could go to their favorite shitty bowl game. So no, they'll play that. If if there's gonna be a non game played, it'll be like maybe in the MAC or the Sun Belt or dare I say it, the Ivy League, you know, the Ivy League or something like that, you know.
Right.
Let me tell you this, guys, about the Bulls. We got the toilet bowl and all these guy bowls out. And this is when I get on these individuals, particularly these college professors, well, why are they promoting football? One of the reasons they have bowls. Bowls are the easiest way and the most efficient way to promote your school across the country, no matter if you play.
Yeah.
About 8 or 9 years ago, a guy from University of Pittsburgh, matter of fact, longer than that, when I did radio at LIB, I interviewed a guy, Shrimpshad, who was a professor up in Pittsburgh concerning college sports. Because I was like, why are you getting on these bowls? He said, hey, he's right. He said, any bowls you go to, even if you got, first of all, even if you got 20,000 people and they showed on TV, that's free advertising to the school. And the classic case of going to the bowls or just postseason, even either football or college, is one school now that we think now is monumental in sports, particularly in basketball.
Yes.
The little school up in Northwest Washington. Little school called
Gonzaga. Gonzaga,
20 years at 2,000 students. They has close to 20. Because every year they playing in that tournament, they don't care if they get beat. Every year playing that tournament, look where they are. Now number one and number two in the country.
Yes.
Those bowls.
That's right.
Nothing but advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And there's more of an opportunity for that to happen in college basketball than there is in college football. And that's and to me, that's the turnoff because, you know, although the sad thing is college basketball is getting just as bad because there's, you know, ever since you had Butler almost win at the buzzer and George Mason get to the Final Four, it's almost like they just said, oh, this shit's not happening again.
Yeah. Villanova did it, man. And Georgetown back in the day.
Villanova is a blue blood.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna tell you where the blue blood came from, guys. A guy about 40 years ago, Villanova was known for track. More than football, from basketball.
Think about this.
Greatest football player to come out of Villanova was Howie Long. And the only reason we know anything about
Hall of Fame.
With Gonzaga, other than John Stockton, the most famous alumni from Gonzaga.
Can you spell Gonzaga?
I don't need to carry Sherman's recast either, Tony.
You gotta worry about that too. You know what? You talk about old money. That's beside the kingdom of old money, bro.
Here's the funny thing. When Loyola was making their run, a few years back, I thought it was real interesting that they kept popping up Sister Betrayal to in the front of us.
Is she still alive? She ain't broke yet, has she? She's still alive.
She's actually doing a remake of The Flying Nun Part 2.
Sister Betrayal lives.
Yes.
Oh, God, man. Y'all going to hell.
That has set the table nicely tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming in and putting in some love. I want to thank my beautiful daughter, Leah, for coming in and providing some knowledge and stuff. And Shout out to all my gorgeous grandkids, especially the youngest, Jefecito, who just turned 7 on the 8th. So,
my man.
The badass kids.
Good for him.
They're still going to be here for a while. 11 more. Let's take this now to final thoughts. And let's also remember that we will be previewing the Black Sports Encyclopedia on our site prominently, as it is that time, y'all, to put some black history underneath the Christmas tree, as the professor has said. We're going to start out actually with the professor to tout this. Go ahead, Prof.
Well, gentlemen, I enjoyed the dialogue such as it was tonight. Mike, you know, you stepped up with a daughter. I'm still wondering if she's not adopted.
Oh,
but, you know,
somewhere that was an insult.
No,
that was a direct hit. That was a direct hit.
One proud papa to another. I know. Hey, I know how them daughters are special.
Yeah.
I know she has worked your nerves and the good ones and the bad ones. But hey, that's why we love them.
Yeah.
We're the first man they play. But you know, when you think about it, you know, that's how you know you did well.
Looking at all these other things
that we've been talking about, you know, we had an incident here today where this 8-day-old baby was killed by this dog. When we talk about, shall we say, stupidity going rampant? I wish it all stopped at Donald Trump and those people who support him. But you know, among the things that I heard you all talking about with your daughter, you know, was the difference in the culture here versus the culture there, because the governmental setup is different there. And you know, and I don't know if they have university health care or not. I know they do in England and a few other places. But you know, we got people whose priorities are so jacked up. And because of that, you know, they don't know when to let go of some of this stuff. But fortunately, you know, we have some level of consciousness that's breaking that in. And I want to thank you for putting up the information on the Sports Encyclopedia. And we'll be ordering the women's – we'll be releasing the women's book on the 1st of the month.
Right on.
So we can add that to the pot. And I will know in a couple of days how far up I am on the men's book. We may still get that out before Christmas. But, you know, we got to – you know, this is all a part of telling our own story because, hey, if we don't tell it now – you know, who's going to be around this stuff? Because these young people don't know, but we don't tell them. So we can go to Mike's page as well as www.blackheritagereview.com.
Yes, indeedy. Professor, thank you so much for also painstakingly putting out a book with such great information. You know, this is old school stuff. This is the stuff the ancestors passed on. Let's make sure we're doing it right. Make sure we're holding it down. Professor, thank you for holding it down. And Patrick, please carry on from me.
Guys, we talk about money and various forms here in marketing and sports, which is as important. Matter of fact, it's more important than the game, because without the money, it wouldn't be no game, right? Somebody did something recently in terms of investing, and this is what happened. Somebody put $6 million in investment on a particular investment entity. And what they did in putting it down, they took out all the residuals from it. And from the residuals, what happened was this person who saw stuff in the future, clearly, this week, it came through, and it made $400 million on a $6 million investment.
Thank
Christ. And the person who was able to
inside a trader?
No, it was legit. And the company that it was that they put $6 million into was Under Armour. Under Armour first started. And the person who got the who recuperated that money was a woman named Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife.
That's right for her.
She'll get made about $280 if the tax is taken out. But I'm particularly want to pinpoint this because I've said it for years ago. Guys need to look at investments that are solid and could no. And here's the trick about it. They won't talk about this, but they'll talk about some brother who wore a chain or some brother you know who got 18 different cars. Or like when I was with the Nets, they had, I was telling Mike, they had Stephon Marbury went out and got a convertible, a Mercedes convertible, went to this party and had a $150,000 chain on his neck. Left the party about 10 blocks down where we got two guys rolled to him and took the chain.
But
Patrick, they did leave him a gas card though, which was that was my car.
Tony, you're going to hell for that. That's a fair trade.
And obviously saying, did he have insurance on that $150 chain? Because he did.
I hope he did.
And they found out that he did. But I'm going
why? Cash back little light, lighting the water, man.
You could have put that in some foundry instrument and made some money off it. $150 chain with come on, hey, come on, man.
It was marked up.
That's just too deep. Reggie, come on and throw something.
Yes,
in the
sir. Box. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, unfortunately, this past week, and I know Professor's going to shake his head, Livingstone and John C. Smith started out playing a football game and up to a hockey game. It was unfreaking real. They had asses flying left and right where the officials the referee said, y'all boys don't cut it out. We're going to go ahead and shut the game down. Well, obviously, they didn't listen because of no contest. Had a chance to talk to Coach Blunt, and I told him, I said, it hurt my heart when I heard this, and I'm praying that you can contract something. I'm hoping you get another 1 or 2 years. Well, where on the street is that the Board of Trustees, John C. Smith, wanted to move on from that buddy right there and the football coach, but we'll see. So I'm just hoping that things work out. But in the meantime, I have to say this. It just amazes me again that the Washington Wizards are in first place. I cannot believe it. I got to take this victory when I can.
Give me time.
Wes Unseld Jr., I was totally against the hire, but once again, what the hell do I know? And they might be 83, they're tied with the Bulls, but right now that they're, I'm going to enjoy this. And T-Mac, you being a Knicks fan,
I'm sorry. I resemble that comment.
It wasn't that long ago that the Bullets and the Knicks had a great rivalry between the two.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Any young guys like Draymond Green got in the court with Gus Johnson and start talking smack. Lord,
he would go. Basically, he would turn. Yeah. Basically, he would turn into Mike Reardon.
It would have been like that cartoon where the dude smacks the duck and got the finger over his ass. By the way, Reggie.
Yes, sir.
Not to pour salt in the wound. Today's the 50th anniversary of the trade. You know.
Kiss my ass.
I'm still hot about it.
He told me, you know, it was 6 years ago, and I'm still hot about it. I'm still mad about it. Baltimore Civic Center, buddy. Come on back. Baltimore Civic Center. Oh, no, it's Royal Farm Center now. It'll put paint on the stage and name.
What I like about
Reggie, Reggie don't go get personal at all. He does not.
Heaven forfend Reginald gets personal. Yes, I appreciate
and
that.
Reggie, I want to know one thing. Who's in that game? And Jesse Smith, who says something about somebody's mom? What do they say?
All I know is all hell broke loose. I don't know what happened, but they got to fight and wouldn't quit. That's all I know.
And
interestingly enough, I think there's one win by each
between
school.
Between the two of them. Yeah, between the two of them. It was a toilet bowl. They was fighting to see who was going to be at the bottom.
That's probably that's probably played a factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
to be
clearly
continued
for
sure. All right. To be continued. Gary, come on with it.
Okay. What's going to be in Arizona?
Uh-oh.
Wherever Chris Ball goes, chaos follows.
Chaos.
The NBA has also investigated Robert Saber, the owner of the Phoenix Suns. Allegations of racism, misogyny, and toxic workplace in the Phoenix
Organization.
As you remember, the same thing happened in L.A. with the L.A. Clippers. Who
was
on the team? Chris Ball.
Uh-oh.
Well, Gary. I have by authority it was not Chris Paul is not at the center of this investigation.
It's the gorilla.
You want to hear a word? Yep, I agree with you, Dad. I agree with you, G. Yes, indeed.
And G, let me add one thing to that, G. Today, this is what they said. This is a killer. Today, the guy's wife sent out some emails. She said there were emails justifying what happened, and you read the emails. She was saying you're hurting me and my family. They were intimidation letters that were put out. That is the deal. Something's gonna happen.
Oh yes.
I believe that Robert Saber is gonna lose that club.
I don't know we're going to lose it, but some damage, a lot of damage is being done.
Yeah, there definitely will be some damage. All right, G, we got a cold this weekend?
No, sir. I have a meeting in San Jose, so I'm not feeling the cold this weekend.
All right, so no cold, no music box. Mm-hmm.
What?
And we got a meeting in San Jose.
All right. Well, take care of business as you must.
Big Tony. Ups to all the veterans.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, really.
Definitely big ups to all the vets. Mm-hmm. No question. Tony, come on.
Mike, if you should happen to see some Cal hosting USC tickets on eBay by way of California. I'm not saying.
But I'm just saying.
From news from out of Carlsbad, California,
damn.
Baseball's most in a press conference in front of a steakhouse at the general managers meetings, Major League Baseball, of course, Scott Boras has basically said the sport of baseball has become the victim of a competitive cancer caused by teams unloading veterans to accumulate draft picks, and that the Atlanta Braves World Series title was a direct result of tanking. In the words of Mr. Boros, this is the Easter money delivering rotten Easter eggs.
Every team says, I need to do this because it's my only option, knowing I can't reach the divisional crest and I can't get in the playoffs. Now, Mike, I don't want to start any rumors, but apparently when Brian Snitker was asked about this comment, he basically said, I want to use the egg. I want to use the egg. I want to use the egg.
Use the egg indeed. Rotten rabbits, horrible hen fruit, to be continued. Gentlemen, before I go, this Sunday will be our 1,500th show since we've done the Soul Tree Radio and the Raw in this venue. And we've had shows beforehand. We've had shows in Canada. And I just want to thank everybody who's crazy enough to come along on this with me and provide great insight, great thought on all sides of the spectrum. I am so thankful to everybody. And let's keep that shit going because that's what we're supposed to do. Now, tonight, I want to give credit to Mark Schlereth. Now, I know a lot of y'all know that he was a former football player who played line with the Denver Broncos, among other teams. But the reason I'm praising Schlereth tonight is because in the game between the Baltimore Ravens and Minnesota Vikings, he did something I've been waiting for all fucking sportscasters and analysts to do. And it only took 3 or 4 sentences. As the game is flowing, he's talking about how, all right, now Baltimore's in a zero defense, which means nobody's in the backfield, everybody's man on man. Quick, just like that. Now, we all know that from playing and coaching, but if somebody's a fan who doesn't have a clue and they want to learn, that's information on the fly, and that was definitely on time. He said what it was. Now you know what to look at. You know why they're doing it. You know, that's just like saying the same thing about a single high safety. You know, if he moves out, he's playing center field. If he's moving in, he's going to provide a shadow of a cover three. This is stuff that we take for granted because we know this stuff. But for a budding fan or somebody who wants to know besides betting on fantasy football, it's gold. And for that, we say thank you because all that can be done. When the AFL was doing their thing, Aldi Regattas and Kurt Gowdy was providing information like that the time.
Aldi Regattas, my goodness.
And in addition to the style of ball they were playing, it made the whole game exciting. It didn't matter who in the AFL was playing. We knew we were going to get just as much insight from the game as we were action on the field. And that's the kind of stuff we want. That's the kind of stuff that the National Football League should want. So, Mark Schlereth, props on that one. That was righteous. So having said that, this Sunday will be show number 1,500. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank my beautiful daughter, Leah, and, of course, the other daughters and grandkids, Debbie and Nikki, Kaylee, Asika, Elena, Dylan, and Miles David, also known as Jefecito. I want to thank all my kids, and I'm going to thank them because I feel so blessed that they want to love me. And all that good stuff means good stuff for everybody else. Please have a safe weekend. Everybody go safe once you get from A to B and back to A-OK. If you don't see me, I'll be hanging out at the
Come on, Jerry, give me my cigarette.
Wait, hold it, man, hold it, what the fuck is this kid doing in here? Get the hell out of here before I kick your little ass.
What the fuck is she?
Don't worry about him, man. He's with me. He runs errands for me. I don't care who he is, man. I don't care what he does, man. Kids bring me bad luck, and I don't want him in the room when I'm shooting.
No, the bet is fainted, motherfucker. Stop jacking off and shoot the dice. You fucking up the game.
Man, I ain't shooting shit. I told you kids bring me bad luck. I can't stand them little bastards. Now get the fuck out of here before I kick your ass.
You ain't whooping shit. Now shoot the dice, you snaggletooth motherfucker.
All right, I'm going to shoot these motherfuckers. You understand? I'm going to shoot, but I bet not crack. That's all I know. I just bet not crack. Come on, stick with your funky ass. I've been waiting for you all night. Baby needs shoes. My wife needs clothes.
And you need some teeth.
Hey, man, I'm going to shoot the damn dice. You understand? I'm going to shoot them. I'm going to stay at one of you motherfuckers home. Broke.
Shoot them.
Broke.
Come on, bitch, with your bad ass. Come on, yeah. Ah, crap. Let's go. Man, what the fuck you throwing this kid in here, man? Didn't I tell you them motherfuckers bring me bad luck, man?
Whoa, whoa. What's that sign say? Ray's place. That's me. This is my place, okay? I have it here when the fuck I want. Okay, you lost. So pass the knife. I'll buy them from this motherfucker.
And I ain't selling, punk. I ain't buying either. What I'm gonna do is shoot this shit again, and you're gonna get that kid's ass out of here. That's what's gonna happen.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Wait, man, look. You shot. You lost. I mean, we'd have paid you if you won, but you lost. Now take your big ass home and brush that tooth.
You think that's funny, huh? You think that's funny, huh?
Oh, man.
Huh? I told you I couldn't stand kids in the room when I was shooting. They bring me bad luck, but you wouldn't listen, would you?
I'm listening.
Well, listen to this. I want back all the money I lost tonight, and I want back everything you took in. You understand me, you smooth-talking son of a bitch? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now tell that old frog-faced, gravel-voiced dude to take his slow-walking ass on out there and bring back the money. Tell it. Otherwise, I'm going to stick your ass. And I'm going to stick him, and I'll definitely stick this little janky-ass, bad-luck motherfucker standing here.
I think you don't have to stick us, because I ain't giving this shit.
Now,
wait, before you do, I just want to tell you one thing.
You want to tell me, punk? Huh? What the fuck you want to tell me, man? Just what the fuck you want to tell me?
It's my mind.
Take your mind.
Oh, shit. Jesus Christ. God damn. I guess he does have bad luck with kids.
That man's gonna stab us, so I shot him.
Yeah. Benny, Slim, Moses, would you help get this damn motherfucker out of here, please?
Grab
it off. Oh shit, look, the game's over for the night. I'm gonna take this little boy home to his mother.
My mama's dead.
Where's your daddy?
My father's dead too.
Did you come?
No, they're just dead.
Give me the pistol. Yeah. Where do you stay?
I don't even know where.
I guess you can stay in my house for a while.
I wouldn't trust him in the house with me.
Alright. Give me five.
I give you shit.
Come on. So you're shy. How about some
rest? Good night, everybody. Stay safe and be safe. We'll see you Saturday at the Stir Fry, 2 p.m. Eastern.